This morning's reading, once again, is from the Prophecy to the Races of Man, chapter 68, The Battle for Control of Man. In the beginning, man was made in the image of God, created of light, but he lost his bright nature. Thus, man became enslaved by the material environment, the air he was made to breathe, the food he ate, the water he drank, and the sunlight that bathed him. By these means, he degenerated into a material being. Trapped in an ever-changing environment, man became the product of cosmological events that vary according to cycles, the distances of one celestial body from another, temperatures, the amount of sunlight that reaches the earth, and cosmic energies that bombard the earth. Altogether, these and other energies and phenomena determined what man was to become, what he was to think, and how he was to respond to nature. Man changes, though he knows it not. From one age to another, he differs in appearance, in stature, in composition, and in the manner he views himself and the universe in which he lives. His institutions of learning, his societies, his religions, his arts, sciences, and all the environment he creates for himself, together with the natural environment, make him what he is or what he may become for his own improvement or his own deterioration. His survival as a species is dictated by all these conditioning processes. When man elevates his eyes to the sun and absorbs the energies directly into his brain and nervous system, he floods his entire being with cosmic energies, which have their origins in space and in worlds beyond his own planet. He is thereby projected into outer space. Man's whole being on the physical level is altered by all of his systems at work in the body. And these alterations have an effect upon his thinking processes, for with incoming light and energy from the sun, his mind is illuminated with thoughts that have their origins outside of his own body and his own world. Slowly he is made anew in the image of God, taking on an image not of matter, but of light. Man begins to have thoughts of searching for outer being, for understanding the source of all life, for comprehending the creator of all things. By means of sunlight, man becomes as a god of the ancients, eating the food of the gods, which is eternal light from the heavens. God's thought, called the Word, is sent to the universe and thence to the earth by means of sunlight. The thought did not originate within this sun, but within the eternal mind of God, from which all things owe their existence. When man looks at the sun, his mind is linked with the mind of God, and this is what is meant by the Word and the incarnation of the Word in the mind of man. With the coming of God's thought into the world from the sun, the light of the sun is altered, for it is filled with divine thoughts. And that is why the sun has been called the Sun of Righteousness. And because God's thought or word calls man back to him, redeeming man from the earth, the sun has been also called the Messianic Sun, meaning that God, wishing to restore man to his divine nature by means of divine light, is the Savior. Sunlight, acting upon man's eyes, brain, nervous system, and organism through the blood and the secretions of glands, does bring about a drastic change in man on the physical and mental levels. And because of these changes, it is necessary that man apply a system of looking at the sun which is beneficial to him. This system is a divine science that has been given to the community, an institution of learning concerned with man's body, his mind, his emotions, his psychic nature, and his spiritual nature. The system is a complete system for alteration of human nature. It is for this reason that those who apply this system are admonished to apply it within the community for their own sake. For to look at the sun means to aspire to a celestial nature more than to a terrestrial nature. A celestial nature is a state of being far superior to that which can be attained without the system. This system was known in part by many ancient schools and was applied by Socrates, Plato, the Buddha, Pythagoras, Viracocha, Moses, Jesus, and many, many other religious men and women of antiquity. But because the nature of the sun is different today than it was in ancient times, the system is by necessity distinct in many ways. Therefore, a new teaching governing this change has come into the world as the traditional and divine school of light, which has come at different times to the ancients. The community is authorized of God and the worlds of light to bring this teaching into the world. This authority must be respected by those who apply the system, and it must be respected by secular and religious institutions of the world. Because the world is undergoing drastic changes owing to the alteration of sunlight and the intelligence within that sunlight, man can be expected to change with it. This change shall be determined by the natural environment, and it can also be regulated for man's greater good and purpose in the universe. This is why the community is important to thinking men and women. It is a discipline that has a very practical application in the world. It can determine whether man is to survive and inherit the universe, or whether man is to become extinct as a species. If man is to inherit the universe, he must become a far more advanced species on the physical, mental, and spiritual levels. To accomplish this, he need become more akin to energy than to matter. The changes that must take place in man can best be achieved in a religious manner, for God is involved. Any other attempt to bring about changes while working with solar energy will necessarily be one of gross mental undertaking, or one of negation, which is to say one of darkness. For powers beyond the material world control man through his sciences and secular institutions. Though his sciences and secular institutions do not know this. Knowing this, it is better that thinking men and women, such as the ancients who gave the modern world many of its founding ideas and philosophical and religious concepts, work with cosmological forces and those powers governing them, as opposed to working against them. It has been said that there are many paths to God. There is some truth in this statement. But I say to all thinking men and women, that there is but one way to God through the sun. And this way should be observed by all those who would look upon the sun for their own sakes. It has been said that one man's food is another man's poison. There is much truth in this statement. Therefore, let those who look upon God's sun give thought to what power they wish to control them. For there are powers within the sun that build and destroy the universe. No one can even imagine the scope of such power. If one would take such powers into his or her being, one should learn to control them within a proven system. To look upon the sun is to become more than a human. Therefore, man's institutions of learning are of no avail in this science of religion. Let thinking and responsible individuals consider carefully that energy governs what one can accomplish on all levels of their activities, be they physical, mental, or spiritual. Someone who has an abundance of energy can accomplish more than one who has a lack of energy. No one can hope to understand God without an abundance of energy within his or her own being, any more than one can expect to propel vehicles into space or outer regions of the cosmos without sufficient energy. That the ancients understood how to project their own beings into the sun and participate in the intelligence within that energy sphere is well known to knowledgeable persons in light. Knowing this, let a new religious science of solar energy absorption be formulated on Earth in a constructive manner through the foundation of a new religion of light, which has an understanding and knowledge of God's word and the new sun necessary for man's evolution as a new being of light. And we will now have the blessings.